If you love losing big money, then boy, do we have the promo code for you. Enter code BIGBEAUTIFULBILL to unlock these awesome offers. You can buy a car for even more money than before, or watch your heat and electric bills skyrocket. It's exclusive for everyone, thanks to Trump's Big Beautiful Bill, which our Congressman Ryan McKenzie supported. So use promo code BIGBEAUTIFULBILL. Sit back and crack open a cold one, but just one, because that's all you can afford. Paid for by NRDC Action Fund.
Both types of sports with Shoot and Tour. Football discussion on the internet.
Oh, hello, friendos. It is Both Types of Sports. Of course, today it's just Shoot. Tor is somewhere making the donuts, and we wish him well in his future endeavors. Thank you for joining us today, though, whether you're listening on Spotify or iTunes, or you're tuning in live on YouTube. It is greatly appreciated. Hit the whatever version. Like the smash button, do that bit wherever you are. Helps get us in the Al Gores, the Al Gores. I want to be involved with Al Gore. He's my running mate here on this show. We got a lot to get to today, so I wanted to first and foremost take care of the people that take care of us. Dreamstay Getaways, booking your Florida theme park vacation this winter. My voice just cracked at 46 years of age. Holy shit. Go to this website that I've got pulled up in front of you right here if you're watching live. They got multiple beautiful properties. Look at these pools. Look at these movie rooms. Look at all this fun stuff for kids. 7 bedrooms, 9 bedrooms, sleep 16, hot tubs, private pools, Wi-Fi, all the fun stuff. These goddamn places allow pets. Probably shouldn't curse when you're doing a live read, but if you're going to go to the theme parks, book here. Book, go around Vrbo, Airbnb. Don't pay all those fees. It's hundreds and hundreds of dollars for nothing. Go to dreamstaygetaways.us. Book one of these homes if you're going down to the parks. And make sure you ride the Velosa coaster. Can't wait to check out that bad boy. All right. And they're on Instagram, too, so give them a follow. Dreamstay Getaways, or check out the link at the bottom of the page right now. All right, enormous amount to get you on the program today. So Sean Salisbury will be joining us in a few moments, or is scheduled to join us in just a few moments. We also have a special mystery guest coming up here at the bottom of the hour. I don't want to ruin the surprise, but it's probably not somebody you would expect to see here. It's probably not somebody that you would expect to be on this show at this time of the day. So that should be fun for everybody. If you would like to send super chats, we do accept super chats on this program. It helps keep the Google gremlins at bay. Our buddy Cannon Hotep always coming through and showing love. Thank you so much, Cannon. Salute to the GOAT. I only strive to be as great as... Stop it. There are entire communities that are jealous of your following, sir. Congratulations to you. And don't let me catch you doing any spastic gesturing anywhere, because you'll get accused of being a fascist. Thank you, Cannon Hotep. Greatly appreciate you being on the program, and thank you for the super chat. We do accept super chats, you chiseling mother, you filthy. Before Sal's gets in, I wanted to talk about this. This has nothing to do with the playoffs. It has nothing to do with Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn or, you know, Trent Baalke, any of the hot names that are at the top of the crawl today in the land of professional foosball. Now, this is different. I love this account on X. Oh, I should play our fucking imaging. We have imaging for this.
Now it's time for the NFL on X on Both Types of Sports.
See, when Cannon Hotep gives a $9.99 super chat, he's funding that level of, you know, those production values are what we strive to maintain around here, and we can only do that with your super chat.
Now it's time for the NFL on X on Both Types of Sports.
Yeah, that's the high level, high quality, high bit rate standard of programming that we set for ourselves and others around here on BTOS. This is the helmet guy. FB_helmet_guy. I wish people would stop making with the underscores so much. Let's figure out a way around that. But as you know, we're big Colt Brennan. We call him a Colt Brennan around here. May he rest in peace. Colt Brennan, We give away signed Colt Brennan autograph cards on the first of every month, second of every month. What is it, the fifth? What's the day we do it? I got another one. Going to be giving it away February. Follow us on X for a chance to win a signed autographed Colt Brennan football card. And the helmet guy tweeted out, Colt Brennan always had an elite helmet, Facebook, and visor aesthetic. If you are listening via a podcast, you can go find this tweet. We retweeted it on at both type sports. And no truer statement has ever been said. I mean, this is a cold looking motherfucker out on the football field. I don't know why. I don't know why the extra bar in the face mask, the one that goes up another level, really makes you look that much more gangster, but it certainly does. And then the face shield doesn't work for everybody. Like on that weird Ezekiel Elliott concussion helmet, I never thought it looked that cool, but Colt was very consistent throughout his collegiate and his professional career. So have to start the show with a little Colt Brennan whenever we get the opportunity to do it. So what is on the docket for today? Plenty. I want to ask Sal's about the marriage between Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson. And also, one of the first things I'm going to ask him is, we had Ben Volin on the show last week. We were talking about Mike Vrabel getting the head coaching gig there in New England and Foxborough, him assembling his staff, the Detroit Lions getting absolutely pilfered for their coaching staff. I hope, you know, you hope that you had your next generation of lieutenants there ready and coached up and able to come in. Hopefully the scheme is something that they can replicate. We know how much Jared Goff benefited from that in Detroit, but their coffers are empty now. They've lost three coaches this offseason, I think, at the point of when we are recording this. But one of the things Ben Volin talked about with Mike Vrabel getting announced, that has nothing to do with Detroit, but Mike Vrabel gets announced in New England, and Ben Volin from the Boston Globe said, there's something going on with Drake May. Drake May didn't address the media at the end of the season for some reason. Most quarterbacks do. And then he wasn't at the announcement of Mike Vrabel as the head coach of the Boston Patriots. While we saw yesterday, very much so, Caleb Williams was present and very excited. Lots of reports of him screaming and being very much in tune with the hiring. So I'm curious if that's a cause for concern, or that's just a talking point. That's just bones for those of us that want to talk about this stuff for multiple hours a day for us to pick. And a gentleman that would know a thing or three about the quarterbacking position and coaching him up, my buddy from the Sean Salisbury Show, look it up, listen to it, live it, love it, and at Sean Unfiltered on X, joins us now on both types of sports. Sal's wonderful to see you, brother. How are you?
You too, man. I'm doing good, bud. Appreciate it.
Well, let me continue with what we were just talking about. Ben Volin on the show last week, I thought that it was the media kind of spurging out for no reason that Drake May wasn't at the Mike Vrabel press conference, but he pointed out that he also didn't address the media at the conclusion of the season. A lot of the other players did. And then we see Caleb Williams having a very visual presence when Ben Johnson is announced as the new head coach of the Chicago Bears, and those reports that he's cheering in his car and wiling out. When you hear the dichotomy of those two scenarios, I don't think ultimately it's going to mean they get pass or fail, but does it raise any question marks for you about how the quarterbacks are conducting themselves?
No, you know, I'm not overly worried about this, Chad. I'm really not. The Drake May not being there. I don't know the organization. I saw enough this year to warrant that guy goes in as starting quarterback for the Patriots next year. I hear the talk of going and getting a quarterback. I personally, if it was a different year, different draft, and there was different needs, I know every year a team needs a guy, whether it's Tennessee, and there are going to be quarterbacks drafted in the first five picks. I don't think any of them are worthy of a first five pick this year, but they're going to get drafted because of need. I don't see a guy in this draft that comes in and takes Drake May's job right now. I don't. Maybe 3 years down the road. I saw enough that told me the guy can throw it. The guy played poised on a team that wasn't very good. As far as I don't think it's an attitude problem. He didn't show. Hell, I tried to shock it up. Was he out of town? Is he supposed to be at the facility in his off season in January when they've been eliminated for a month now and fly in to be at the facility if that's not his off season home? I don't know. I mean, the speculation and not addressing the media at the end, maybe he was disappointed in the season. I don't know. I'm not trying to give him all, but I don't know the kid. I'm assuming that he approaches his job right, but you know, they're in flux right now. Are they going to take quarterback? Is Vrabel there? I would imagine him and Mike are going to talk at some point, you know, what their plans are. But I think it's way too early to start saying we need another quarterback. They need a lot of other stuff. Because Shedeur Sanders or Ward, anybody else comes in right now isn't fixing this team is the rookie year. I think Drake May's got a future. And so I'm going to ride with that for now. I'm not real bothered, you know, because Caleb was there. Think about this. Now all of a sudden we're going to tell Caleb Williams how great he is because he was at the press conference. Yet all season long I heard people say, and before the draft, that, well, does he care about the team? Is he an I guy? Is he a me guy? So each personality is different. Until I know why Drake May wasn't there, then I can tell you, well, bad attitude, didn't like the coaching hire, wanted somebody else, or they're moving in a different direction, told him to stay away from the building. To me, hell, I mean, I just think about people's off-season homes and quarterback. Would somebody fly in just to be there if it wasn't that big a deal? He's fighting for his job, too, coming in a second year. So I don't think it's a problem. If it is, that means the Patriots are moving on, and maybe they told him. I don't know. I would prefer that they look at what he brings for them moving forward. Is he a franchise quarterback, which I'm sure they're trying to still figure out. This doesn't mean much to me. I don't need a quarterback at the I don't need Aiden O'Connell at the press conference for the Raiders when they hire their coach. If he's in town, great, invite him over. I don't think it's that big a deal, to be honest with you. I don't.
The pilfering of the Detroit Lions, they lose three coordinators, of course, in all of this, with Terrell Williams going to be the defensive coordinator with the Patriots. We know about Aaron Glenn taking the job with the Jets and Ben Johnson now being introduced. Sal, I think we're going to learn a lot about Dan Campbell, and I think we're going to learn a lot about that culture. And that boy, is that a difficult thing to do. And I'm not the biggest fan of the coach in Philadelphia, but you know, they had a bit of a growth struggle when they lost their guys as well, and they seem to be finding their stride again. How devastating is that? Especially, we're not talking about 4 or 5 years, you know, you've been able to cull and like build this next generation of coordinators. Like, their ascension has been fairly rapid. I wonder how Jared Goff is going to look. All those phenomenal weapons that looked, you know, unstoppable in a system that Ben Johnson's drawing up. Like, I wonder how that's going to look now moving forward. And the fact that he felt emboldened enough to take a job inside of the division when there were other jobs available, I think that speaks to that quite a bit, does it not?
It does. And he knows that division, does Ben Johnson. And you lose coordinators, you lose a guy that somebody else is hiring, plucking people from the staff. I've been talking about this a lot on my show and the interview process last week and going into losing these guys, how much does matter. We don't know. It doesn't matter who they bring in. Even if it's a guy, let's say it was a guy they elevated in-house, right? Just for the hell of it. It doesn't mean he has the same philosophy or aggressiveness that Ben Johnson had. It doesn't mean the coordinator on the defensive side has the same philosophy. So there will be an adjustment period, possible verbiage. I've always believed I want the coaches to adjust to the players and that, as opposed to the 53 guys having to adjust more verbiage. But when you hire a guy, you're bringing in what he does, whoever Dan Campbell decides to hire. I think it is a monster situation. It's the oddest thing. You know, as coordinators, you do everything you can to post your score and be good at your job so you get a head coaching job. And you're there with those guys. You're going – everything matters. And literally overnight, you're now talking about how great your new team is and you love it. And those guys now are wondering – well, is it the same verbiage? Off-season is going to be different. The comfort level. Goff had a comfort level. You think about guys that go with coaches that just make a difference. When we say coaching, well, coaching's overrated. No, it's actually not. So I don't know what to expect from Detroit. And that's why when you said Dan Campbell, I'm anxious to see, because in Philadelphia, they had the two. Those guys left. The two that came in have both been fired. Mm-hmm. And now they're on their third set of coordinators in 3 years, and it did affect them. Even though Brian Johnson was there, he wasn't Shane Steichen. They thought it just play calling and a position coach are two different things. I got news for you. They can all teach X's and O's, but a rhythm of a play caller and getting into it, that's a unique situation on both sides of the ball. I think it will have an effect. I'm anxious to see who Detroit hires. Will they lose? One thing that made Detroit great is they continued to attack. There's very few guys like that want to play that way.
Yeah.
And so there will be an adjustment period. And think about this. They're 15-2 home field advantage, turn the ball over, lose a game. And just like that, with a Super Bowl window there, who the hell knows if the Super Bowl window will be open and they will play the same in a tough division. Yeah. I think this is monumental. Coordinators are important. I always contend that head coach gets all the credit. I would argue that assistant coaches on the everyday play and the everyday maximizing the building, I would argue that your assistant coaches make more of an impact on a player than the head coach because you're with them every day while the head coach is in his office overseeing the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think this is huge on Detroit's part.
That's interesting. When Lovie Smith took that job, we know that he immediately said, hey, we got to go out there and beat Green Bay. And I understand playing to the fans, but I pulled this clip. I know you've seen it, but I'm excited to hear your reaction. I think I know the direction you're going to go, but this is pretty bold.
Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, you're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards as the season ends here. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
It's Ben Johnson at his introductory press conference for the Chicago Bears. And hey, look, man, I like, if you want to get to, you know, be ingratiated into the Bears fans' hearts, going out there and say we want to beat the Packers, but talking shit directly to, in my mind, one of the best coaches we have in the league, that's dicey. You better go out there and back it up. Did you like that decision for him to go after the coach?
Well, the one thing I knew about Ben Johnson, kind of like the way he approaches offense, he wasn't going to mince words. That's who he is. And I think that he, Bears fans, the second he walks in the building, expect it. And it's all the smile on his face. Now, is it gamesmanship or is it the fact that there's just like a deeper seated, you know what, I like beating Matt LaFleur. The truth is he's going to like beating Dan Campbell if he can. He's going to like beating Kevin O'Connell too. Think about that division and the young, bright coaches. Even though Dan's not young, he's built some. LaFleur, he looks like he's a teenager, yet he's been building something. O'Connell's built something. And now you're taking the most coveted coordinator in all of football this year and putting him in Chicago. Yeah, and I don't think Ben's going to back off it. He's a guy that if he's got you by 35, even if it's Dan Campbell or Matt LaFleur or Kevin O'Connell, he's always wanted to try and beat you by 42. So I like it because it's off-season talk. I just kind of wonder, well, is that a deep dig? Or is it the fact that you get him a couple times and you beat him and it's just from this last season? I have no idea what the past relationship is, but it'll make for that what he said there will be on somebody's locker and in somebody's locker room when they face each other again twice next fall. I love it. And I do like the fact that he stayed in the division because now the familiarity, Dan knows what he does. They've seen Ben do his thing. The question is, can Caleb Williams do the things from the pocket that he's had Goff doing? So I do love it, and it's ballsy, but look at our coaches now. We got a lot of coaches that are ballsy and talk a lot of trash, and it's kind of the new way, and Ben Johnson is a young guy with high expectations, and he's going to need them, and he's going to need performance in Chicago. That's a hell of a division.
The interesting part of that division, too, Sal, is like on paper, you're like, man, this is it. This is the meat grinder, but Jordan Love and the Packers definitely went out with a whimper at the end of this season. We assume that they're moving on from Sam Darnold and going to J.J. McCarthy. That has to come together in Minnesota. And Detroit, as we just talked about, their coffers have been pilfered for all of their coordinators. So, well, I still think all those are all good teams with good coaches, and, you know, that's what you need. But there does seem to be at least a path to upward mobility, especially that we all acknowledge that the Bears underachieved greatly this season, even with a rookie quarterback.
No doubt. And there's things I can guarantee you that Detroit's not going 15-2 next year.
Yeah.
It's hard. I can guarantee you Caleb Williams is going to play better football. I can guarantee you that if the Vikings do make the decision to move on from Sam Darnold, whether you wanted him short term, whether you were going to franchise him, or whether the last two games of the season, the regular season, a playoff game, put a taste in your mouth that says, who is Sam Darnold? Pressure Sam Darnold? Or is he the guy who played in the regular season or the guy who did not play well the last two, which is going to prevent him from getting big money anywhere, unfortunately. And it was just those two games, but two monster games and two bad performances. So, yes, what happens is a division that was three playoff teams and wow is now still got wow talent. But the truth of the matter is, if I said, is Detroit the favorite in the division? Talent-wise, you might say yes, but you might say, man, that could be three or four games different depending on the coordinators and the comfort level and new verbiage and a new guy coming in, hopefully hits a ground run. I don't know who the favorite is today because I do place that much emphasis on those two coordinators in Detroit. Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think that Detroit while last, who says they're not going to be four games better? And Ben Johnson does have a guy that's got a lot of bandwidth. Now it's going to be his job to corral him at sometimes and cut him loose at others. I can't wait to see it, and I'm here for it. But all those teams that made it, all, like you said, Green Bay getting out of that thing where they did not perform well at the end in the playoffs. But the other teams in the division, Chicago, took a step back at times this year, and the other two teams, Minnesota and Detroit, it didn't end anywhere near the way they wanted it to. There's a lot of question marks for a division that was so stacked this year.
I have to get your thoughts on this. Sean Salisbury joins us on Both Types of Sports. Please follow him at Sean Unfiltered on X. This got an enormous amount of run. We all saw it with our eyes, and I've never heard players come out and openly criticize the referees, including the head coach, like the Houston Texans. And the Houston Texans outgained the Chiefs in every facet of the game. You covered them. I'm sure this has been a hot-button topic for the entire week on the phone, Sal's, but there's always been my mantra was always, if you blame the refs, if you blame the weather, it's like it's loser speak. But I have been watching football my whole life. I have never seen it. Pat Mahomes slowing down and kind of sticking his back out, trying to draw contact because he knows those refs have his back. That felt like a deal breaker to me. They asked him about whether or not that the Chiefs and him specifically get preferential treatment. He said, quote, I don't feel that way. At the end of the day, the referees are doing their best to call the game fair and as proper as possible. All you can do is go out there and play the game as hard as you love. I think we preach that here in Kansas City. Here's the problem, and this was noted in this article on PFT, is something that's already been acknowledged by referees. There was a defense by Troy Vincent, who is the VP of football operations for NFL executive, where he acknowledged that they are protecting the quarterback specifically because they're the ones that put asses in the seats, right? Like, but he invoked the ratings and said they go down when the quarterbacks are not out there. Well, if you're going to do that, if you're going to value one position group above all others, why is it a conspiracy theory to think you'll take the best quarterback in the group and then put his needs even further above that? I want your comments on all of it, but have you, someone that's been around the game your entire life, have you ever seen this level of scrutiny surrounding one player, one organization, and their relationship with the officials?
No, and there's so many branches to it, but listen, I love Troy Vincent, and I know it's, you know, the mandate from on high. It's not just him, it's everybody. Of course they protect the quarterbacks, overprotect them. The rules suck. We've turned it, we've lost integrity of tackle football. We, not all of it, but we have. It has been softened. Not that the players are softer. The rules force us to buy into the fact that this game has become a different football game than you grew up watching. It just has. Regardless of whether you like it or not, you can argue all you want. In Kansas City, they're probably going to argue they don't get preferential treatment. Elsewhere, they're going to argue that they do. Here's the simple fact from my naked eye. One is, I think it's an embarrassment that we have to admit that ratings and people's ass in the seats are coming to see one guy. And that may be the case. Don't tell us, lie to us, even though we all know that is part of the routine and what goes on. But, and you're also basically telling me that the left tackle's right knee is not as important as the quarterback's left shoulder. That's what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Yet, oh, wow, man, they lost three offensive line. Well, it doesn't matter, man. All we care about is Pat and Josh and Lamar and that and Joe Burrow. With the Kansas City Chiefs specific, we can twist it any way we want. They do get superstar treatment. Quarterbacks do get extra treatment, and there is no conspiracy because Kansas City, with the special treatment, the golden guy of the league, the golden child of the league, gets a little extra because you can see it with the naked eye week after week. Now, the one thing that does bother me is when people diminish the Kansas City Chiefs' success and say the only reason they won, I heard it here, is because of the phantom calls or Mahomes gets extra protection. No, the reason they win is because you gave up 8 sacks, you got your ass kicked in special teams, the Texans, and Kelce ran wild on a guy that you know is going to see the football and you still didn't defend him. And Kansas City got dominated in most categories by the Texans last week. Now, the caveat is that you got 2 or 3 extra series going on, which added two, and who knows if the Texans would have scored or not, but yeah, you get bonuses, and they were phantom calls. So they do get superstar treatment, whether we like it or not. They shouldn't, nor should any other quarterback, but they do. But anybody out there that thinks the Chiefs are winning because Patrick Mahomes okey-dokes them, and he milks the rule completely. He does it. He hesitates because he knows damn well if it's close, it's going to favor him. It just is, and that's okay. The rules are allowing it, so why wouldn't he milk it? Wouldn't we all? But he does have it. But anybody that thinks that they're getting the treatment, that's the reason they go win 15 games, is bullshit. That team wins because they're the best situational football team in pressure situations of anybody in the league. Even when they're not playing good, a 3rd-and-4 here, they get. A fourth and one here, they get. A red zone touchdown to Kelce, they get. And then on a third and nine, you throw an incompletion, and if it's close, you're going to get the extra three or four downs because of a late hit that was a phantom late hit helmet to helmet. So, yes, but the Chiefs deserve more credit for being a great football team or executing it great at the right time, even though they haven't looked pretty offensively this year. But come on, man. Anybody that blames it all on Mahomes and says that that's the reason is wrong. But anybody that sits back, Kansas City Chiefs, Andy, Pat, any of them, and say, no, we don't get any treatment any better than anybody else. All quarterbacks get special treatment. They get extra special Michael Jordan treatment.
Right.
And even though you're a superstar, doesn't mean, listen, when you, if you were playing goaltend a shot in the NBA, they're not going to not call goaltending because you're a backup. The truth of the matter is there shouldn't be superstar and unwritten rules for, oh, we got to treat him with special. I know why they do, and it comes back to what everything. It ain't about health. It's about money when it comes to the Mahomes thing. So, and protecting, we got to keep him in there. So is it a bit Bush League and bullshit? Of course it is. But you got to beat 12 guys about two or three plays in a game when you go to Kansas City. But even then, you got to do it on your own side. The Kansas City Chiefs are a great franchise and great team, and it's not just because of the phantom calls. That just gives a little extra incentive and bonus for them to get an extra down. But it's rare that they come out of it and you say the only reason they won is because Mahomes got treatment. The Kansas City Chiefs are a phenomenal football franchise. They win games because they do it better than anybody else. And then they get the bonus on top of it, which they don't need. And that's the biggest bitch and gripe I have about it.
Sure.
He gets preferential treatment and he milks it to a T. And that's okay because they allow it.
Here's the problem I have with the whole thing, Sal. We're coming out, and I don't get political on this show, but we're coming out of an era where there was a lot of people that were called a lot of things and a lot of conspiracy theories that tried to be stifled. And we're learning a lot of that stuff was true and that we were lied to. So what I try to do now is I try to just look at where does the money go? Caitlin Clark, Taylor Swift, in that box, the ratings for the Ravens and the Bills, which is a fantastic matchup, a football player's dream, two MVPs, button heads, was lower than when the Chiefs were involved the year before. There's millions of people that didn't tune in. And because why is that? Well, you're getting all the Beyonce fans. You're getting all the Swifties. And so if the NFL's looking at that and saying these are millions of fans and potential customers that we're going to lose, it's Occam's razor, man. Like, how far are you willing to go? And you're right. The Chiefs have earned everything they got. But it's the postseason, and it's the best team, and it's a hair's difference between who advances and who doesn't. And if we can nudge it in the right direction and get them 15 yards and get a conversion, get them 3 points, that's all that needs to take place. And that just seems like logic to me.
It's not conspiracy theory. You're 100% correct in applying it to the way society was. And you are exactly right. Like I said, we have a lot of all or nothing, right, when it comes they get their ass kicked if it's not for that one call. That's not true. But the truth of the fact, the matter is that they watch numbers. They know who the stars are. They know who's in the seats. They like that Caitlin Clark and Taylor Swift are there. They like that Kelce's dead. I mean, that's not the reason. You still got to perform. Hell, if they go out there and lay down, they're not going to win regardless of what the referees say. But, yes, I don't think it's a mandate from the NFL protect and make sure that Mahomes gets every call nobody else does. But I do think there's this sitting in there that – put it this way. Do you think that the NFL would like the Kansas City Chiefs to be at the Super Bowl this year?
100%.
You're damn right they would. But the Chiefs have earned this. They have built this. But they're getting extra help. And listen, if the rules are going to allow it, milk it. I get it. But they shouldn't. And so, yes, and you're right. On third and nine in the playoffs, and you throw a ball that's a catch and a tackle for four, and it's at midfield, and they're not going to go for it. But then all of a sudden, a late flag comes in. It's a personal foul, and you extend it. Giving Mahomes two extra shots is like getting Tiger Woods take a mulligan off every tee box when he was at his best for 683 straight weeks. So, yeah, and this is the biggest winner in team sports right now is Mahomes. They do get aided a little bit, but even if they don't get a call this week, I got news for you. Buffalo's going to have to play well, and Allen's going to have to dress in a phone booth. Does it suck that this is that the best team continues to get it because they're the best player at his position in the world right now gets a little extra treatment? Yeah, it's not right, but well, if they're going to continue to allow it, if I'm in the Kansas City locker room, I'm milking that for three extra fucking series every week I can.
You've been complimentary of this gentleman every conversation that we've had. There's been a lot of reasons to, but we're entering different territory now, Sals, when it comes to Jaden Daniels, and he's got an opportunity to do something that we've never seen, and that, of course, rookie quarterbacks, they are 0-5 all time in conference championship games. He's got a chance to go to the Super Bowl. This is a metric from FanDuel, I believe. If you're listening, you can go look for this yourself. We'll put it up on our X account. But from 10 to 1, they have the top 10 rookie quarterback seasons in NFL history. Now, Caleb Williams is on this list, so take it with a grain of salt. But Dan Marino, Dak Prescott, Cam Newton, Ben Roethlisberger, C.J. Stroud, Robert Griffin III is on this list. Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson, and number one overall, they have Jaden Daniels, 2024, fresh off going into Detroit and doing the best team in the NFC. What do you make of him? Would he be at the top of the Sean Salisbury list if you put this together?
Yeah, that guy that's at number nine would be a lot higher.
Dan Marino, 1983.
If Marino was playing in 2024.
Can you imagine? I think about that all the time.
Yeah, it would be Marino and then nine other cats in order. There'd be a gap there. So I'll take number 13 and move him up a little bit. But from what I've seen, and I've been fortunate that two of those top five, I've seen them all, but
yeah.
I mean, the city for the guy that last year, with everybody saying generational talent, C.J. Stroud. When are we going to see this again? Well, the very next year, and I'll raise you one as well. I've told you from day one, every single year I've watched him play since Arizona State, he's got better, which tells me that it's this. There's something he's working on every offseason to polish the game. All the other stuff you can't teach, the poise, the leadership, the making people around you better. The stuff you can teach, he gets better on. The things that I have to have in a quarterback to be great and to give my team a chance to be great. One, he's got to be able to maximize the building, the people around him. That's it. Two, he's got to be emotionally and mentally tough to deal with any situation under pressure. And three, he's got to be accurate. And he's got them all. I reverse this. It'd be a shorter conversation asking what's not to like or what doesn't he do well. There's nothing. He's got command of the team. He's on a team that without Jaden Daniels and just another guy this year, the Washington football team probably doesn't make the playoffs, let alone I think has a legitimate shot. And he's the best quarterback on the field in this game on Sunday. And I respect Jalen Hurts, but the throwing, they're not even in the same area code. But he's got feet. He's a big body. And the one thing that's my favorite, he reminds me of Warren Moon. He is unflappable because I was a teammate and I could never tell if Warren was playing good or bad. I mean, most of the time it was good, but you would never tell because he never let anybody else in the outside fans. You could never tell. And I watched Jaden Daniels, and incompletion doesn't bother him. And I got to tell you, brother, in a time when physical skills matter, but it's that mental grind and emotional grind of getting booed at home, going on the road, and all the stuff that comes into distractions and tough, this dude's got it. The only weakness I guess he has is he doesn't need to take as many hits as he takes.
Yeah,
you got to learn how to be judicious with that. You and I have discussed that at times this season, but I give him a legitimate chance to go in there and win. I think he's on a tremendous uptick to be a top – he may be a top six or seven guy now. I hate to put that on a rookie. They did that to Stroud last year, and now he's not in the top five. Let's give him two or three years to continue to settle in. But we look – you want to know what a franchise quarterback looks, sounds, and performs like? He's in Washington. When you draft a rookie, that's how it's supposed to look and sound and the execution – he doesn't go with the P potential. We know that's there. He's the other side. He came in as a rookie and gave us the P production. There's nothing about him that says rookie other than the year in the league. He's special.
Last one for you, Sals. When teams play each other three times in a year, it ain't natural. I said the point that I was always making is you just have physically watched more tape on those teams than you have for anybody else. Washington's coming off a big victory, and people want to talk about the backup quarterback being in there, and that's some sort of asterisk. No, they knocked out the starting quarterback. That's right. What you want to do if you're a football team is you want to go out there and knock out the other team's best player. They did that. They go on to win the football game, and, of course, Jaden Daniels looks electrifying. When you have to play the team the third time, how much of a difference maker is that and how we should be thinking about the matchup?
I'll tell you what, for me, you know what the hardest thing to do is not get too cute as a play caller and as a coach and as a team. What happened? Listen, 85 to 90% of the stuff they've done all year that's got them to where they are now, they're going to do. Guess what Saquon Barkley is going to do? They're going to run inside zone. He's going to catch it, and they're going to feed him the ball 30 times. Guess what Jaden Daniels do? Use his feet. They're going to RPO. They're going to do a Cliff and your great chess match going back. Kellen Moore. They're going to do what they do. And then they're going to add some extra things that you hope, you know, the Dickums, we call them, which is that Andy Reid Dick, where it's a little, you know, the pitch back to the quarterback on a quick change turnover. Those things that aren't 70 plays, but are one that they're not calling it to be a gimmick for the next week for the next team to see on tape. They're calling it because, like, Andy expects it to work. But the truth of the matter is,
summer's hotter weather is finally here. But don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you love losing big money, then boy, do we have the promo code for you. Enter code BIGBEAUTIFULBILL to unlock these awesome offers. You can buy a car for even more money than before, or watch your heat and electric bills skyrocket. It's exclusive for everyone, thanks to Trump's Big Beautiful Bill, which our Congressman Ryan McKenzie supported. So use promo code BIGBEAUTIFULBILL. Sit back and crack open a cold one, but just one, because that's all you can afford. Paid for by NRDC Action Fund.
The substance of this game is going to be, can you tackle the guy in the backfield? Can you prevent the big play, and can you make him kick field goals and play between the 20s without scoring touchdowns? There's got to be no secret formula, even though it's the third time. You're familiar, but you got to guard against feeling like you're too familiar, because guys will go home and say, oh, I've seen them. I know what they do. And you won't dive into just your lonely work. You've got to treat it like you haven't seen them, although you got that knowledge, that think bubble right here saying, I know in third and six, they love this because tendencies and the analytics and the metrics tell me. But there will be a tendency. We've played him three times. This is our third time. I got to be cute. I thought Ben Johnson last week, even though it wasn't three times, was a little too cute on the reverse pass throw in that situation. I thought he got too cute because it's worked for him all year. I think if you do the basics, the simple things great, and sustain them, you will be in the game. And then it's going to be the four or five or six plays, a snap hook on an extra point, a big play that hits your hands and falls to the ground, a strip sack fumble and a flip the field, about six or eight of them. But it's the ones who try to get too cute. You're not changing it. These guys are creatures of habit and superstitious as shit. They're going to go with what's worked all year because they'd be stupid not to. It'll be the execution of it, and it'll be guarding against the ego to get cute and say, see, my double reverse pass at the 25 where I took it out of Jaden's hands and put it in a running back's hands and he threw a pick was dumb. Okay, there's a time and a place to score lead. You're trying to put them away. I get it. You can afford it. Not when you're chasing. So don't get too cute and do the simple things well. Play ahead of the change, which is so cliche. And when the big players are there, make them. But the simple things that you do well, block and tackle. I know it sounds weird, but the third time, don't get cute. Go back to what you do and what you started the first time and make sure you don't take for granted that it's the third time that you're familiar with them. You still got to get into it because three or four or five plays will make a difference.
Sal's always bringing out the big super chats. Bobby Double L, $50. Thank you so much, brother. Love BTOS with Shude and Sal's. How could we not have the great Sean Salisbury on championship weekend? The last weekend for football fans, and then all of the halftimers and the commercial fans take over for the bowl. Sal's, have a wonderful weekend, brother. Thank you so much.
Enjoy your weekend, too. Appreciate you, brother.
That's my guy right there. Thank you, Bobby Double L, as well, for both being such a loyal supporter of the show. And look at this, 10 gifted memberships. Please to be turning on accept gifted memberships. There is a link pinned to the top of the chat. Oh, look at this. There's a familiar face backstage. Very excited to be joined by the great Grant Paulson. Grant Paulson, my former coworker. Of course, Grant and Danny in my time slot, 2 to 6 on 106.7 The Fan. Grappers, great to see you, buddy. How are you? Uh-oh, hold on. Let me make sure you're tuned in there. You got yourself muted? Check the side of the mic.
I think I'm good, right?
There he is.
It is good to see you as well. I didn't know. I was like, would it be awkward if I'm sitting in your studio while I'm talking to you? So I waddled down the hall a little bit. But, you know, sitting here at the station, I'm fat again. And Washington's good at football. Other than that, everything's the same.
Join the club. I know the exact room you're in, too. Is that creepy? Thank you so much, Bobby, for the 10 gifted memberships. I really appreciate you taking some time today, Grant. Not only have you been covering this team as long as anybody, but you've been covering football as long as anybody. And I wanted to start there. I just asked Sal's about it, but you were around for Robert Griffin III. You're getting to ask these guys questions. I was hosting that show. I'd never felt anything like it. I think the victory on Thanksgiving was kind of the tip of that spear for me personally. But Jaden feels different to me, and Jaden feels like he's unrelenting. He feels like he's inevitable, and I've never seen Washington do this in my adult life. So as someone that's been around the team and covered the team as long as you have, how does this feel as compared to the minimal successes the organization has had over the past couple of decades?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, for me, I've been a little bit of a skeptic, if I'm being honest. Like, each step of the way, it's taken almost a little bit more for Jaden Daniels to prove himself, probably because of my Robert Griffin experiences that you reference. I mean, I was probably too close back then, right? In 2012, I was on the beat in the building talking to the Shanahans and so many people behind the scenes regularly. And you kind of felt like, while what they were doing was amazing, it was based largely on scheme, and it could come crashing down if teams made adjustments or they kind of had to get to a point where they threw the ball in the pocket. Daniels, to me, is just a completely different entity. Like, he can beat you in every way, and he's proven that in times and in games where he's been kept in the pocket and had to make throws, the ability to see the field. And Chad, he gets through reads. I mean, there's incompletions occasionally over the course of the year you can find where he looked at three or four guys and then threw the ball out of bounds. Like, little stuff that rookies don't do, doesn't really put the ball in harm's way, doesn't give the defense many chances to get their hands on the rock. He is super sharp. And I will say this too. I'm not out there. I'm not on the beat anymore. You know the role I have. I sit in the studio for the most part and talk from afar. But everyone I've asked and talked to since the first day says that this guy is what you design in a laboratory in terms of studying, how he treats his teammates, when he gets there and leaves. Like, stuff that you have no chance if you don't do, he checks all those boxes, and then we see how he plays when the lights come on.
That's the part of it, Grant, and I'm excited to ask you this question because I have national guys on from time to time. They give their opinion, but I know that you still speak to a lot of people in that building. I think Dan Quinn is a good head coach. He's been to a Super Bowl. I think Cliff Kingsbury can draw up an offense. I like Austin Ekeler. I like Zach Ertz. But this is, this is not Gibbs and Pettibone. I look at this, and from kind of an outsider now, Jaden looks like he's raising all ships. He looks like the tide that's raising all ships, and he feels very unique to me. And I don't want to get swept up in it and overanalyze it, but how much of it is this new group, the new ownership, the refreshing air, everything that we're talking about with Washington, but how much of it, in your opinion, is specifically this one player at the most important position on the field?
It's a great question. I mean, I'm trying to figure that out. Like, all year long, could this Jaden Daniels thing be happening because he's that unique, with the old ownership group or without everything else having changed? I think the answer to all of it is it's all a part of it, right? I mean, Daniels was made possible because this ownership group did something that probably before that they wouldn't have done, which right. is to say that they restarted everything at once. For all the years that you were on air talking about this team and before that living and dying with this team, since you were a kid, they never one time under Dan Snyder in 25 years, and really before he got there, it was several years even of not doing this, but they never hired a GM to start fresh that ran the football operation unimpeded, who then got to pick his coach, who then got to pick his quarterback, who then, got to design that offense with the coordinator, right? Like, that never happened. And you see this all the time. This is one of the biggest mistakes teams make is, well, the coach is already there, but let's go get a GM. Or the GM's there, and there's a quarterback there, so let's find a coach. They got to start over, fresh, man. Literally every single phase of the building. Ownership, GM, head coach, quarterback, like, all at once. And I don't think that's a nothing burger. I think that is really, really important in all of this. But let's face it, you see it every weekend like I do. If you have a quarterback, you have a shot. Yeah. If you don't, you don't. And if you have an elite quarterback, like, you might be able to be one of the final teams standing every year. And I don't know that this is the case yet. I'm not ready to use Sharpie on this. But right now, this moment, it looks like they've got a Mahomes, Allen, Burrow Lamar kind of quarterback. And when you're in that camp, which is like four deep right now, if it became five deep, then they're a perennial contender. And it feels like that right now. We'll obviously see in time if that's the case.
Well, and people want to bring up, and I'm guilty of this, and I think it's the Griffin hangover. They want to bring up health, and it's just, it's no, like, if you're an MMA fan, John Bones Jones doesn't appear to have calf muscles, and yet he can kick a hole through a brick wall. So just looking at a guy and saying he's slender shouldn't be enough, but it took me a while to get over that he's going to get hurt. Look at these hits he's taking. I mean, he's getting pieced up in this playoffs, but he's durable. He keeps his head. And Joe Burrow gets injured. Lamar Jackson gets injured. Like, that's a piece of it. So I think it's going to take a little while just to not be white-knuckling it. I don't know if it has for Commanders fans, but I want to go back to something you said. I couldn't agree with you more. I want you to expound on how valuable it is to in that order. General manager, coach, quarterback. When you're watching the Tennessee Titans fire the general manager after 2 years and keep the head coach that's done nothing, you're watching Trent Baalke, the Jacksonville gets told presumably to pound sand by a couple of coaching candidates, and they're like, all right, maybe we should fire this mother effer that's got, you know, nine lives for some reason. If it's that obvious, why do all these organizations have such a difficult time doing it?
I think it's relationships, honestly. I think it's because, like, when you're an owner, who do you work with the most, right? The right. GM is in your ear, probably. So, like, Baalke sitting there angling, I'd imagine, for the last few months, hey, we're going to get this thing right. Here's my plan. Here's how we're going to do this. And that's who you're with the majority of the time. If you're an owner, you're not with the head coach nearly as often. Now, sometimes it's the other way, where the GM's been around longer and stinks, and the head coach just got there, and they're the one in your ear going, hey, I think with my vision and if we found the right fit. But to me, it's not even an opinion. Like, it is a proven fact that you are setting people up to fail. It doesn't mean you cannot win that way. You can punch through the wall if you have the antidote at quarterback. Or if if you're Patrick Mahomes and you went to the Titans this year, they're probably going to be in the AFC Championship game pretty soon. Like, there's ways to overcome. But just generally, the best path forward, it's proven. Right, is that everyone's on the same page and that there's a hierarchy of people. It's no different than what we do, right? If I end up at a radio station where, the PD leaves or whatever, and then somebody else comes in and I'm not really their guy, that's not ideal, right? Yeah. So I just think it's normal. And you're so right about the Titans. What happened with them was a joke the last year. To have an infighting situation where you choose one guy over the other, only to then have the guy that you didn't choose be the one everybody wants, and you think your guy stinks, well, no wonder why you're bad. And the Jaguars are even worse. I mean, what a comical disaster they are with the Trent Baalke situation, because it's so transparent what happened. The coaches they wanted were like,
no way, guy.
Probably not going to do that. And then they fired the guy, and now the coaches already took jobs. Like, it's amazing, man.
The South is wild when you think about how unhealthy the Colts are in an active feud with the biggest media personality on the planet. And then the other two teams, all the Texans have to do is show up on time.
And they kind of did. Yeah. Like, think about their year. I mean, I actually really like watching them, and I love CJ Stroud. But they were a huge disappointment this year for the most part. They almost salvaged that in the playoffs. But that's kind of what they did. They just, like, parred the course. Like you said, they showed up at 1 o'clock every week. They kind of stuck their head to the ground, and I think, what did they go, 10-7 and won the division? Like, sure. You just have to not be embarrassing and you might come out on top.
They win a playoff game. They go out there and they outgain the Chiefs. I mean, they had themselves a nice little season for their franchise. All right. I don't get into the weeds as much as far as the individual matchups when it goes to, but the Eagles getting six seems fucking ridiculous to me. We know what happened in week 16. Jaden goes for five touchdown, passing at three in the fourth quarter. They win. They knock the quarterback out. I believe Eckler wasn't even in that game. He's going to be back for this game. Now, Cosme being knocked out, we know who's on the other side. That's a huge matchup issue, but 6 points feels like a lot. I feel like Jaden's the best player left in the tournament, at least playing the best right now, and the Commanders are as hot as anybody. I'm not overly impressed with the way that the Eagles have gone out and taken care of business, and they deserve credit for doing that. And we also talked about playing a team three times in one season. You're going to be ultimately familiar. How confident should Washington fans be going into this matchup? I feel they should be pretty damn confident.
I think they should be feeling really good. Yeah. First thing on the line, I don't get it either. The only thing I can say is, in a world where the Lions were 9.5-point favorites, six makes sense. Yeah. But I thought that line was weird. Like, That made no sense to me either. I thought that was way too huge. And then you see how Washington played and winning by two touchdowns. The 6 points you could talk me into, and I could say makes sense, if the Eagles were rolling. They haven't thrown for 135 yards in either of these playoff games. Their passing game is broken. And why is there no adjustment seemingly for Jalen Hurts, Chad, not being either healthy or effective?
Because he's hurt, right? He's more hurt than we know.
It seems like it. He won't answer the question, which is a non-answer is an answer. And you just watch him. Like, watch that safety that he took. That's a terrible play by a guy who can't – he's compromised. So something's not right there. I don't really get why the line doesn't reflect that. I think it should be probably like 4, maybe 4.5, whatever. But I guess it doesn't matter at the end of the day. To your point, though, on fans, I have bet against them. I picked against them and bet against them against the Bucks.
Me too.
I loved them in the points against Detroit, but I didn't think there was any way they were going to Detroit in that environment and winning. I'm not doing that anymore. I now am picking them to win this game. To me, and you were still on the air in 18 on our station and in 19 with the Caps and the Nats. Like, this now feels like a magical carpet ride. And maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe they'll lose somehow. But, like, those runs, if you remember, where, like, the Caps got a bunch of breaks, and they're really good. They deserve it. Same with the Nats in 19, just wild ride. That's starting to happen, where, like, Baker Mayfield accidentally, whoopsie-daisy, bumps into Jalen McMillan and fumbles. Or the center, who's really good, Graham Barton, just snaps the ball at the wrong time on and inches, and now it's fourth down, and they got to kick the tie instead of go for it to win. Little things like that keep happening. There was a play in the Lions game, if you remember, where they were about to go up. I want to say it would have been maybe like 14-3 or more, 17-3. And Jared Goff got a sack fumble in the red zone. On that play, if you watch, like Amon-Ra St. Brown's one-on-one with Wagner on a choice route is exactly what they wanted. And he slips and falls. So because he slipped, now Goff has to hold the ball and he gets hit and he fumbles. I mean, little things like that are just kind of stacking up. And that's not to take away from Washington. They've been awesome. You got to be good and lucky. But I just feel like it's one of those runs. It would be weird to me if it ended in Philly, unless Hurts can get right. And I just don't see that. So I'm picking them, man. But fans feel really, really good. I would sum up how they are thinking about the game basically with right now the philosophy is I got Jaden Daniels. I got a shot. You know, that's the momentum. Like he's, to your point, he is playing as if he is the best player left in the playoffs, which is crazy to say.
If you're going to pick one, he would be – maybe it's Saquon, but, you know, maybe it's Josh Allen. I mean, I'm not overly impressed with Mahomes. I mean, he's played as well as anybody. The part of it, Grant, that's crazy is going into Detroit's and winning the way they did in dominant fashion, there's another component of professional sport where, you know, it took a long time to beat down the Washington fan base to where it was before this season. It's going to take a long time to you know, dig out of it. But – you have young football players, young football fans that are nomads now for the most part. You know, they root for the superstars, kind of that NBA effect. They're watching Jaden. There are encampments of Commanders fans springing up every time they go on the road and they beat one of these teams. And you have this guy that everyone's going to want the jersey for years and years and years. Before you even get to what if they win the Super Bowl, what if it's Buffalo versus Washington, I'm just talking about from restoring the foundation, digging out and making this team into – approaching what it once was back when I was very young, back before probably you were born. I just think they've done an incredible service to themselves with the way that they're winning and how they're winning and who is involved. And I think that's how you kind of build back the dunes after the hurricane.
No doubt. I mean, it's been unbelievable to watch the renaissance even just this year within the fan base. And it's what they're doing is they're building these core memories for young fans.
Yeah.
That will result in that generation liking this team. Like they lost a generation of people and countless people along the way, which happens not just with 30 years of ineptitude, but obviously the way they've treated people and the way the owner ran things and all of those factors. But just as an example, there was a kid that I saw like in my neighborhood rocking a Jaden Daniels. It's the black jersey that's become really popular with the yellow numbers. With young people, like they don't care that they used to be the Redskins and they're not anymore. They don't care that they're not wearing the Joe Gibbs early 90s gear that
it's a bummer.
Right, exactly. But like, I'm like, what is this? What team is this? This doesn't look like the thing that I grew up with. The kids don't care about that. They just think Jaden Daniels is awesome. And he is, by the way. But like, that's what they care about. So that's a real thing. That's reality. They're building this thing back up. What I would say, though, and I don't need to explain this to you. You know this as well as anybody and maybe better than me. Like, the tent is smaller, if you're going to use, like, a political term, right? I mean, whatever there used to be, a number of people that cared about this team, that is a smaller tent than it used to be. But it's way bigger than it was at the beginning of the year.
Sure.
And the passion underneath, like, inside of the tent is at an apex. I don't think they can ever be that big tent again. With this iteration, with this name and this, you're just not going to get everybody back. But what you can do is create this new thing and make, you know, keep growing your tent with new people. Like the kids that are buying the Daniels jerseys, they were never in the other tent. And if you enough time and enough wins, frankly, and enough good seasons from now, they're going to be in a really healthy, good spot. But I will just say the way they treat people, dude, it's unbelievable. Like, you would love.
I'm jealous of that. I'm very jealous of that.
It's crazy. I mean, the timing did not work.
Not at all.
In that regard. And look, we're not their flagship. So, like, we're not getting perks or anything like that. I just mean generally, like, you'll find this funny. So there's an old story about Dan Snyder when one of the media people had, like, a medical issue at the facility and got ambulanced out of Ashburn years and years ago. And the way the story went, and I always say, I don't know if this is true because I don't want to be sued, but was like that he walked in there after the fact and was like, you know, your buddy in the hospital, is he going to make it? And was like kind of trolling the other reporters, right? That was the old story that went around about the big bad wolf. Well, I'm sick and can't go to the game against the Lions the other day. And one of the top owners, one of the minority owners, texted me and was like, hope you're feeling better. You're going to make it to the game.
Wow.
Out of the blue, like, texted me, my fat guy, me, this guy. And I'm like, hey, man, no, I got the flu. Like, I can't fly to Detroit. He's like, oh, well, hopefully we win so you get to cover the biggest game you've covered. Like, wow. It's hours before kickoff. Like, why would you possibly be thinking about dumb me?
Yeah, and that's great.
That's how they treat everyone. Like, everyone is someone kind of thing. It's so different. It's just awesome.
What was the name of the, I always forget his name, and he was really good to me, so I always hate it. What was the PR guy they hired for like 6 months? And of course, Snyder spurged out and fired him, but he let us go back to Redskins Park and do the live shows. Yeah. What was
Brian
that guy's
name?
That's him. Yeah. I had a tiny little shot glass of that when they walked Alex Smith out, and I was like, he said, who do you want to talk to? I was like, well, can I talk to Adrian Peterson? And then Adrian Peterson was there 20 minutes later, and I'm sitting there with a big tent in my pants, and I'm like, oh, this is how it could be if shit made sense around here.
And by the way, that guy got fired 2 hours after that.
You instantly. Know what
I mean? Yes. He was there for 6 months.
He was the best.
Like everybody that they blew out during that era, on the way out, just so much mud slung at him. So many stories about why they had to fire him. It was just awful. But it is not now. And I don't think it's a coincidence. Now, I didn't think they'd get to the NFC Championship game in one season, and they're not promised getting back here anytime soon. But it's almost like you run a business. I mean, how you treat people matters.
Yep.
People wanting to work for you matters. Like, it's just so – it's not even a comparison. And by the way, there's so – like, everything has changed so much. Truly, it's a different organization. It's a different name. It's a different look. It's different owners. It's a different front office. They're the most turned over roster in the NFL from a year ago, year over year. So we keep comping it to like, wow, they were a 4-win team last year. No, they weren't. 35 or whatever of these guys weren't here for that.
Yeah. And that's why, okay, we can't dwell on the matchup forever. Couple things to wrap up with. I know you got a show to prep for that are non-Commanders related. I saw this list come out, and it's a fine list. I don't know how I would vote on it. It is interesting that it's a regular season honor, and we saw Josh Allen, who didn't perform particularly well, but his team beat the Baltimore Ravens. Burrow had one of the craziest cartoonish football seasons I've ever seen. I mean, they're putting up stats like you wouldn't believe in a losing campaign. And then Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, Josh Jacobs, basically reestablishing, hey, the team can run through the running back. And Saquon, the main reason why the Eagles are still a part of this conversation. Then, of course, you get to all the statistical books that are being assembled for Jared Goff. Where are you voting with this list right now as it stands?
I would vote for Josh Allen. A couple of things I would admit. I mean, first, it's a narrative award, everyone says, and I do feel a little bit like it's his time, if that makes sense.
I think so, too.
Like, he has not won the award. I think if we were to fast forward 5 years and Josh Allen would have never won an MVP award, that would be fairly criminal, in my opinion. Like, he's just too good a player, too good of a team. I had a guy on my show yesterday who said it's dumb to give the MVP award to someone that you don't think is the best player in the league. I don't know if that made sense, but he's like, it should be very simple. Who's the best player in the league this year? So that's Lamar Jackson, pretty easily to me. He's like, then that should be the MVP. And I disagree with that. I believe MVP, we don't call it the most outstanding player. Like, we call it the MVP. Lamar had, I think, 9 Pro Bowlers on his team. Josh Allen had 2, I think, this year. You know, if you look at all pros, I think it was like 5-1 in terms of teammates this year. Josh Allen just did more with less and was great in big spots. So was Lamar a better player? Yes. But I'll tell you, Burrow, to me, if he were to win it, if Lamar were to win it, I'd have no problem with that whatsoever. Because of the same thing, the value thing. I just think, you tell me if you disagree with this, I think if you took Lamar off the Ravens, who are so good on defense, with a 2,000-yard tailback in Derrick Henry, who, yes, benefits from Lamar, so maybe it's only 1,500 yards or whatever, I still think that's a 10-ish win type playoff team. I think if you take Josh Allen off the Bills, I think not only do they miss the playoffs, they might win 7 games.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my argument for MVP.
I said before they went and beat the Lions, I said if you took Jaden off of the Commanders, put him on the Chiefs, they end up in the Super Bowl. And if you took Mahomes off the Chiefs, put them on that Commanders team, I think they lose to the Lions. So I was like, I was making kind of a similar argument for in a different capacity. I agree with you. It's about value, man. And I don't know how you could, it would be Saquon and Josh Allen for me, because I think you also have to find the postseason. I think if you're the most valuable player, you raise everybody around you. It's why we're going crazy for Jaden Daniels. It isn't just a statistical anomaly for his season. He's making everybody around him better, which is very difficult to do, especially outside of the quarterbacking position.
Yeah, and someone said this to me too, kind of along those lines. They're like, well, if that's your argument for Allen, why is Jaden not high in the MVP conversation? And it's a good, like, I don't have a good answer for that, honestly. If that is the argument, like, what if you took this guy off the team, then what is the team? Then he probably should be on the podium. Because I think that to some extent, Washington's other players get belittled too much.
I agree.
Like, I think they have really good players that don't get enough credit because we kind of do the Jaden and the Misfits storyline. But there is some of that on offense. Like, Alameda Zaccheaus is really good. He caught 10 balls for the Eagles last year. You know what I mean? Like, are we sure that De'Ami Brown had never caught 5 balls in a game before the playoffs? He's done it back-to-back weeks. So there is some dragging this team along with him. But I will say, and look, if Marcus Mariota started 17 games, Washington probably would have gone 7-10, 6-11, whatever. But in the 3 quarters he played against Carolina, he lit it up and they scored 40 points. And when Marcus Mariota played against Dallas for a half, he dragged them back to a win and threw a game-winning touchdown with a couple seconds left. So I guess my point is we've seen them at least be functional in a very small sample without Daniels. I don't think that would be the case over a long period of time.
Is it the greatest rookie season we've seen out of a quarterback, recency bias aside?
It's got to be. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be. Last year what Stroud did was breathtaking. How could this not be better than that? I saw this graphic, by the way.
Yeah.
The Russell Wilson thing has to be just based on what happened in the playoffs, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
Because I don't remember at the end of that regular season, like Griffin won the Rookie of the Year. And, well, I guess Kaepernick wasn't a rookie. He was a second-year player who didn't play his first year.
That's right? Trouble, because you can say that about Mahomes. I mean, there's some great quarterbacks that just weren't forced into, you know, combat the way that these guys were. The fact that Caleb Williams, we're looking at the same list again from FanDuel. Well, the fact that Caleb Williams is on this list, I found somewhat humorous.
Yeah, that just means there hasn't been 10 good rookie seasons, I guess.
I guess so.
You got to put some quarterback on there. That's hilarious. But, yeah, I think I don't think that's a debate when you consider he led the team in rushing also. Like, they did not have – a lot of these guys, when you look at the players who have had playoff success, like the rookies, I think Jaden Daniels is the 5th rookie to now start in a conference championship game. He'd be the first to start in a Super Bowl. But those other guys, I'm thinking of like Mark Sanchez, who did it, or Joe Flacco. It was hand the ball off and watch my defense hold the team to 14. And I got to not F it up, right? Yeah. Like, that was the whole philosophy. This has not been that. This is a 30-plus point per game, top 5 scoring offense, where he's the trigger man and he leads them in rushing. And if he's not exceptional, they lose. It's just who else has been that guy and gotten a team this far? It's never happened before.
The great Grant Paulson, listen to him today in an hour, 2 to 6 on 106.7 The Fan. Please give my best to the new program director, brand manager of 980 as well. I hear that guy's a real ball breaker. I hope the write-ups go well for you during his administration of tyranny.
Brand manager Cahill will, I believe you will accept that with great pride. Thank you. Yes, we're very happy for Drabby. Yeah. It's good to catch up. This was very Washington football tonight of us.
I loved it, man. That was one of my favorite shows I ever did at that radio station. Grant and I don't even remember why, but we did like was it 2 hours? We did a football show.
No,
2 hours every night.
Yeah, I think it was like we did eventually do like 2 hours on some special, but it was like 6 to 7 every day. Like it started as a recap of whatever had happened out in Ashburn, whoever, you know, had to put out a statement or had been fired that day or whatever. And it turned into just, we're like, this team is not good enough. And we would just talk about the NFL. It was a good time, though. Really, really fun time.
We did Tackling the East. We had all a bunch of great segments on that show. It could have been something someday, but I'm glad we got to rekindle it here. Grant, have a great show. Thank you so much for making the time, buddy. Great to see you.
You got it, pal. See ya.
My guy, Grant Paulson, who has been as good to me as anybody in the business since my unfortunateness. So unfortunateness. Is that a word? I speak for a living. Thank you to Grant Paulson. Great to have him on. Great to catch up with him. And I'm very, very happy for all of his success in the industry. He's one of the best. Cool, Daddy-O. I wanted to give another. I didn't give enough thanks to Bobby Double L. Hopefully you guys turned on your Accept Gifted memberships and you got blessed with one of those. You can have access to the entire back catalog on the YouTube channel. Please hit the like button right now. I don't know why the numbers for this show on the podcast are pretty damn good. They're not that good on YouTube. We'd like to get them moving in the right direction. So hit that like button and make sure you're subscribed to all of that shit because we go live on Mondays and Thursdays. And wow, what a great show. Sean Salisbury and Grant Paulson. You're not going to do better than that. I pulled this clip, one last Jaden moment. This kind of embodied why I think he's finding so much success in this league.
What would it mean to you if you were the first rookie quarterback to take a team to the Super Bowl?
I'm not even thinking that far. You know, it will obviously be a blessing, but, you know, I'm just focused on, you know, how can I be better day by day?
So that doesn't seem like much. That just seems like, hey, he's saying the right thing. He's what is he, 23, 24 years of age? Yeah, 24. His birthday is the 18th, so he recently turned 24. Happy birthday to Jaden Daniels. Not only does he always say the right thing, but the reason why he finds so much success in the fourth quarter is because he's cooler than the other side of the pillow, right? Like, he is unflappable. And when he answers questions like that, it's effortless. There's ways where you could step on your dick all over. Coaches do it all the time. Sirianni does it all the time. Cam Newton makes a fucking living doing it. There's just ways to step on your dick constantly. They provide endless opportunities for it, and then you just have a gang of reporters ready to pounce on it and then an entire internet. And he effortlessly gets through all of it, and that translates on the field as well. It is a very, very unique set of circumstances that Washington has when it comes to what this young man is doing for the organization. It's why I'm picking them to win. I've certainly been picking them to cover, but I'm also picking them to win outright. And I think we're going to get a Kansas City, Washington, Uperse, Olbe. We'll see how that goes. Are you, I hear you saying right now, Dukes, I'm desperate for a both types of sports t-shirt. Where can I get one? Aha! You're in luck. Look at all these texts. Get yourself a Solid Dudes Game Day Edition shirt, Scary Octopus shirt, Fortress Film Society, Chad Duke Show. There it is, right there in the middle. Both types of sports, the official tee. Get yours right now. Just go to stickermule.com/Chad Dukes. That's stickermule.com/Chad Dukes. Go grab yourself a BTOS tee. Don't cost much. It's a fine garment. I got a couple myself. We got our own hot sauce, too. Take a look at that. You get yourself a case of both types of sports hot sauce. The spiciest of hot takes. Stickermule.com/Chad. Yeah. And you'll be able to get yourself all manner of merchandise. And we appreciate you. DC Sports Mark, thank you for being here. Dukes, being a Jaden fan but not a Commanders fan, is fine by me. Yeah, man. Grant was right. I missed it. Life gets in the way sometime. And if I could walk it back, I don't know. I'd have to be in that situation. I know that I can't. And I can cover the team openly and honestly, and I can certainly be happy for the people that it benefits from. I can be happy for my community because the Commanders playing good football, regardless how silly I think the name is or awful I think the uniforms are, is what's best for business. And if they make it to the Super Bowl, what an incredible story that would be. How can you not? If you love professional football, and I do, and I have my whole life, how can you not be a fan of Jaden Daniels? How can you not? He is the anti-Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes is great. I find it impossible to pull for him. I root for his lack of success, if it could ever possibly fucking happen. Everything about the way he carries himself and goes about his business annoys the shit out of me. And the opposite of that is Jaden Daniels. He is the opposite of Will Levis. And that's the highest praise I can possibly give you. Youngable, I agree. It's impossible. If you don't like Jaden, you got something wrong with you. And that's fine. I have a lot of personal baggage as well that I project onto other people. But yeah, it ain't have nothing to do with that young man. Thank you for the super chat, DC Sports Mark. And thank you for being here. Hit the like button, you silly geese. And never go short over the middle. We ain't running no pitches. I need all of you to go long. Real long.
Hey, what do you got?
Both types of sports.
Yeah, what's it do? Go long. Real long. Nice toss.
Both types of sports.
If you love losing big money, then boy, do we have the promo code for you. Enter code BIGBEAUTIFULBILL to unlock these awesome offers. You can buy a car for even more money than before, or watch your heat and electric bills skyrocket. It's exclusive for everyone, thanks to Trump's Big Beautiful Bill, which our Congressman Ryan McKenzie supported. So use promo code BIGBEAUTIFULBILL. Sit back and crack open a cold one, but just one, because that's all you can afford. Paid for by NRDC Action Fund.